How many thousand of my poorest subjects are at this hour asleep? Oh, sleep. Oh, gentle sleep. Nature's soft nurse. How have I frighted thee that thou no more wilt weigh my eyelids down and steep my senses in forgetfulness? Why rather, sleep, liest thou in smoky cribs, upon uneasy pallets stretching thee, and hushed with buzzing night flies to thy slumber? And in the perfumed chambers of the great, under the canopies of costly state, and lulled with sound of sweetest melody. Oh, thou dull god! Why liest thou with the vile in loathsome beds, and leav'st the kingly couch a watch-case or a common larum bell? Wilt thou, upon the high and giddy mast, seal up the ship-boy's eyes and rock his brains in cradle of the rude, imperious surge, and in the visitation of the winds, who take the ruffian billows by the top, curling their monstrous heads and hanging them with deafening clamor in the slippery clouds that with the hurly death itself awakes? Canst thou, O partial sleep, give thy repose to the wet sea boy in an hour so rude, and in the calmest and most stillest night, with all appliances and means to boot, deny it to a king? Then happy, lo, lie down. Uneasy lies the head that wears a crown.
Many good morrows to your majesty.
Is it good morrow, lords?
It is 1 o'clock and past.
Why then, good morrow to you all, my lords. Have you read o'er the letters that I sent you?
We have, my liege.
Then you perceive the body of our kingdom, how foul it is. What rank diseases grow, and with what danger near the heart of it.
'Tis but as a body yet distempered, who to his former strength may be restored with good advice and little medicine. My lord Northumberland will soon be cool.
Oh God, that one might read the book of fate and see the revolution of the times make mountains level, and the continent, weary of solid firmness, melt itself into the sea. And other times, to see the beachy girdle of the ocean, too wide for Neptune's hips. How chances mock and changes fill the cup of alteration with divers liquors. Oh, if this were seen, the happiest youth, viewing his progress through what perils past, what crosses to ensue, would shut the book and sit him down and die. 'Tis not 10 years gone since Richard and Northumberland, great friends, did feast together, and in 2 years after were they at wars. It is but 8 years since this Percy was the man nearest my soul, who like a brother toiled in my affairs
and laid his love and life under my foot. Yea, for my sake, even to the eyes of Richard, gave him defiance. But which of you was by? You, Cousin Neville, as I may remember, when Richard, with his eye brimful of tears, then checked and rated by Northumberland, did speak these words, now proved a prophecy. Northumberland, thou ladder by the which my cousin Bolingbroke ascends my throne, though then God knows I had no such intent, but that necessity so bowed the state that I and greatness were compelled to kiss. The time shall come, thus did he follow it, the time will come that foul sin, gathering head, shall break into corruption. So went on, foretelling this same time's condition and the division of our amity.
There is a history in all men's lives, figuring the natures of the times deceased, the which observed a man may prophesy with a near aim of the main chance of things as yet not come to light, which in their seeds and weak beginnings lie entreasured. Such things become the hatch and brood of time, and by the necessary form of this, King Richard might create a perfect guess that great Northumberland, then false to him, would of that seed grow to a greater falseness, which should not find a ground to root upon unless on you.
Are these things then necessities? Then let us meet them like necessities. And that same word even now cries out on us. They say the bishop and Northumberland are 50,000 strong.
It cannot be, my lord. Rumor doth double like the voice and echo the numbers of the feared. Please it your grace to go to bed. Upon my soul, my lord, the powers you already have sent forth will bring this prize in very easily. To comfort you the more, I have received a certain instance that Glendower is dead. Your majesty hath been this fortnight ill, and these unseasoned hours must add perforce unto your sickness.
I will take your counsel. And were these inward wars once out of hand, we would, dear lords, unto the Holy Land.
Come on, sir. Give me your hand, sir. Give me your hand, sir. An early stirrer by the rood. And how does my good cousin Silence?
Good morrow, good cousin Shallow.
And how does my cousin your bedfellow, and your fairest daughter, and mine, my goddaughter, Ellen?
Alas, a black ousel, cousin Shallow.
Oh, by yea and nay. I dare say my cousin William is become a good scholar. He is at Oxford still, is he not?
Indeed, sir, to my cost.
I must then to the Inns of Court shortly. I was once of clemency, where I think they will talk of mad Shallow yet.
You were called Lusty Shallow then, cousin?
By the mass, I was called anything, and I would have done anything indeed too, and roundly too. There was I and little John Doit of Staffordshire, and Black George Barnes, and Francis Pickbone, and Will Squeal, a Cotswold man. You had not four such swinge bucklers in all the Inns of Court again. And I may say to you, we knew where the Bona Robas were, and had the best of them all at commandment. Then was Jack Falstaff, now Sir John, a boy, and page to Thomas Mowbray, Duke of Norfolk.
This Sir John, cousin, that comes hither anon about soldiers?
The same Sir John, the very same. I see him break Scoggins' head at the court gate when it was a crack not thus high. And that very same day did I fight with one Samson Stockfish, a fruiterer, behind Gray's Inn. Jesu, the mad days that I have spent. And to see how many of my old acquaintance are dead.
We shall all follow, cousin.
Certain, certain, very sure, very sure. Death, as the psalmist saith, is certain to all. All shall die. How a good yoke of bullocks at Stamford Fair?
By my troth, I was not there.
Death is certain. Is this old double of your town living yet?
Dead, sir.
Jesus, Jesus, dead. I drew a good bow. Dead.
Dead.
I shot a fine shoot. Johnny Gaunt loved him well and betted much money on his head. Dead. Dead. I would clap you in the clout at 12 score and carried you a forehand shaft of 14, a 14 and a half. This it would have done a man's heart good to see. How a score of yous now?
Thereafter as they be. A score of good yous may be worth £10.
And his old double dead.
Here comes one of Sir John Falstaff's members, I think.
Good morrow, honest gentlemen. I beseech you, which is Master Justice Shallow?
I am Robert Shallow, sir. Aha! A poor esquire of this county and one of the king's justices of the peace. What is your good pleasure with me?
My captain, sir, commends him to you. My captain, Sir John Falstaff. Tall gentleman, by heaven, and a most gallant soldier.
He greets me well. I knew him a good back sword man. How doth the good knight? And may I ask how my lady, his wife, doth?
Oh, sir, pardon. A soldier is better accommodated than with a wife.
That is very good, in faith. And it is very good indeed, too. Better accommodated. It is good. Yea, indeed, is it? Good phrases surely are, and ever were, very commendable. I accommodated. It comes from a commodo. Very good. A good phrase.
Pardon, sir. I have heard the word. A phrase, call you it? By this good day, I know not the phrase, but I will maintain the word with my sword to be a soldier-like word. By heaven, and a word of exceeding good command, by heaven!
Here comes good Sir John. Give me your hand, sir. Give me your worship's good hand. By my troth, you like well, and you bear your years very well. Welcome, good Sir John.
I am glad to see you well, good Master Robert Shallow. Master Sure Card, as I think.
No, Sir John. What? It is my cousin Silence. What? In commission with me.
Good Master Silence, it well befits you should be of the peace, what?
Your good worship is welcome.
Fine, gentlemen, this is hot weather. Have you provided me half a dozen sufficient men?
Marry, have we, sir? Will you, sir?
Well, I beseech you, let me see them.
Where's the rule? Where's the rule? Let me see. So. Yea, marry, sir. Erythmuldi. Let them appear as I call. Let them do so. Erythmuldi. Where is Muldi?
Here, please you.
What think you, Sir John? A good-limbed fellow, young, strong, and of good friends.
Is thy name Muldi?
Yeah, please you.
It is the more time thou wert used.
Most excellent. Things that are mouldy lack use. Very singular good, Sir John. Well said, if faith, Sir John. Very well said.
Prick him.
I was pricked well enough before, and you could have let me alone. My old dame will be undone now for wanting to do her husbandry and her drudgery. You need not to prick me. There are other men fitter to go out than I.
Go to peace, Mouldy. You shall go. Mouldy, it is time you were spent.
Spent? Peace. Stand aside. Know you where you are? Yes. For the other, let's see. Simon Shadow.
Let me have him to sit under. He's like to be a cold soldier.
Where's Shadow?
Here, sir.
Oh, whose son art thou, Shadow?
My mother's son, sir.
Oh, Thy mother's son is like enough, and thy father's shadow.
Do you like him, Sir John?
Shadow will serve for summer. Prick him.
Thomas Wart.
Wart? Where's he? Is thy name Wart?
Yes, sir.
Thou'rt a very ragged wart.
Shall I prick him, Sir John?
Well, it was superfluous. If his apparel is built upon his back and the whole frame stands upon pins. Prick him no more.
You can do it, Sir John, you can do it. I commend you well. Francis Feeble.
What trade art thou, Feeble?
A woman's tailor, sir.
I prick him, Sir John.
Well, you may, but if it'd been a man's tailor, he'd have pricked you. Wilt thou make as many holes in an enemy's battle as thou hast done in a woman's petticoat?
I will do my good will, sir. You can have no more.
Oh, well said, good woman's tailor. Well said, courageous Feeble. Thou'lt be as valiant as the wrathful dove or most magnanimous mouse. Prick the woman's tailor. Well, Master Shallow. Deep Master Shallow. Who's next?
Peter Bullcalf of the Green.
Oh, yeah, Mary, let me see Bullcalf.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, for God, there's a likely fellow. Prick me Bullcalf till he roar again.
Oh, my lord, Captain.
Just thou roar before thou'rt pricked.
Oh, lord, sir, I am a diseased man.
Now, what disease hast thou?
Horse and cold, sir.
Oh,
cough, sir. Which I got with bringing the king's affairs upon his coronation day.
Thou shalt go to the wars in a gown. We'll have away thy cold, and I will take such order that thy friends shall ring for thee. Boy. Is here all?
Here is two more cold than your number, Sir John. You must have but four here, sir. And so I pray you go in with me to dinner.
Come, I'll go drink with you, but I cannot tarry dinner. By much, but I'm glad to see you, good Master Robert Shallow.
Oh, Sir John. Do you remember since we lay all night in the windmill in St. George's Field?
No more of that, Master Shallow. No more of that.
It was a merry night. is Jane Nightwork alive?
She lives, Master Shallow.
Never got away with me.
Never. She would always say she could not abide Master Shallow.
The master would anger her to the heart. She was then the owner of her. Does she hold her own well?
Old, Master Shallow.
Yes, she must be old. She cannot choose but be old. Certain she's old. And had Robin Nightwork by old Nightwork before I came to Clements Inn.
That's 55 years ago.
Cousin Silence, that you had seen that at this night and I have seen. Hey, said I well, Sir John.
We have heard the chimes at midnight, Master Shallow.
That we have. That we have. If faith, Sir John, we have. Our watchword was Harum, boys. Come, let's to dinner. Oh, Jesus, please, let me have
faith. Harum, boys. Master Corporal Bardolph, stand my friend. He's for Harry 10 shillings in French crowns for you. Very true, sir. I had as lief be hang, sir, as go, and yet for my own part I do not care, but rather because I am unwilling, and for my own part I have a desire to stay with my friends, else I do not care for my own part so much, sir.
You too. Stand aside,
sir.
Good Master Corporal, Captain, for my old dame's sake, stand my friend. She has nobody to do anything about her when I am gone. And she is old and cannot help herself. You shall have 40, sir.
Go to. Stand aside.
By my troth, I care not. A man can die but once. We all guard a death. I'll ne'er bear a base mind, and be my destiny so, and be not so. No man's too good to serve's prince, and let it come when it will. If a man die this year, he's quit of it the next.
Well said. Thou'rt a good fellow.
Faith, I'll bear no base mind.
Which men shall I have?
Which you please.
Sir, what with you?
I have £3 to free Mouldy and Bull Calf.
Go to, well.
Come, Sir John, which four will you have?
Do you choose for me?
Marry then, Bull Calf. Bull Calf, Mouldy, Shadow, and Feeble.
Mouldy and Bull Calf. For you, Mouldy, you stay at home till your past service. And for your part, Bull Calf, grow till you come unto it. I'll none of you go.
Sir John, do not yourself wrong. They are your likeliest men. I would have you served with the best.
Will you tell me, Master Shadow, how to choose a man? Care I for the limb, the thews, the stature, bulk, and biggest semblance of a man? Give me the spirit, Master Shallow. Take water. See what a ragged appearance it has. I shall charge you, discharge you, with the motion of a pewterous hammer of the same half-faced fellow. Shadow, give me this man, for he presents no mark to the enemy. The foeman may, with his great aim, level at the edge of a penknife. And for a retreat, how swiftly will this feeble, the woman's tailor, run off? Oh, give me the spearmen. And spare me the great ones. Bardolph, put me a caliber into Ward's hand. What? Travers! Enough! Come, manage me a caliber. So, very well. Very good. Exceeding good. Oh, give me always a little lean old chapped bald shot. Well said, Wart, thou art a good scab. Hold it. There's a tester for thee.
He is not his craft, master. He does not do it right. I remember in Myland Green, when I lay at Clement's Inn, I was then Sir Dagonet in Arthur's show. We had a little quiver fellow who would manage you his piece thus. And about, and come you in, and ratata would I say, and bump would I say, and away again would I go, and again would I come. No!
These fellows will do well, Master Shallow. So 1, 2, come on, 3, 4. God keep you, Master, silence. I will not use many words with you, gentlemen both. Farewell. I thank you. I must 12 miles tonight. Bardolph, lead them on the way. Hey, up.
The Lord bless you, Sir John. God prosper your affairs. God send us peace.
Oh, God send us peace.
On your return, visit our house. Let our old acquaintance be renewed. Peradventure, I will with you to the court.
Oh, God, I would you would.
Good. I have spoken. At a word. God keep you, Sir John. God keep you.
Yes, farewell. God keep you. Farewell. Farewell, the gentle God gentleman. As I return, I will fetch off these justices. I do see the bottom of Justice Shallow. Lord, Lord, how subject we old men are to this vice of lying. This same starved justice hath done nothing but prate to me of the wildness of his youth and the feats he hath done about Turnbull Street. And every third word, a lie. I do remember him at Clement's Inn, like a man made after supper of a cheese paring. When I was naked, I was for all the world like a forked radish with a head fantastically carved upon it with a knife. It was the very genius of famine, yet lecherous as a monkey. And the whores called him Mandrake.
And now is this vice's dagger become a squire, and talks as familiarly of John o' Gaunt as if he'd been sworn brother to him. And I'll be sworn I never saw him but once in the tilt yard, and then I broke his head for crowding among the marshal's men. And now he's in land and beefs. Oh. I'll be acquainted with him if I return. If the young dace be a bait for the old pike, I see no reason in the laws of nature, but I may snap at him. Let time shape, and there an end.